Blog Talk Radio.
Nalema kulila misozi, nikayanga na banja latu. Kupadwa tinabadwa mushe, koma lelo lipazulika. Nikale tinakalapo kondwela, lelo heka, tutikumbukila kweta chokela. Amai kubutika mutima, koma zoti tazisoa. Nimaona misozi masomu wake, nimaputo abale nimaputo.
Hello, good morning, and welcome. Nathan, we can't hear you if you are talking for some reason. Unless it is only my phone. Brother Bianchi, good morning.
Good morning, Roger. How are you?
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine, thanks. I can hear your voice. But Nathan,
it sounds
we
like
can't hear you.
Yeah, I can't hear Nathan either. I hope everything's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, our system, I think it's getting back to old days. Instead, after
good
years,
morning,
think...
and thank you for joining us this February 25th, 2017. This is Zambia Block Talk Radio. I believe it should be 1600 hours or a minute or two after that in Zambia, and it should be 2 p.m. GMT or London time. It's 8 a.m. in Dallas, Texas, Central Standard Time. And for our colleagues on the East Coast, it's 9, 6 on the West Coast in California and all those areas. It's 9 p.m. Western Standard Time in Australia. We do thank you for joining us wherever you are listening us from, online, or whether you've called in. This morning, we'll be discussing the economy of Zambia and how it has performed in the past for 24 months or so with Dr. Richard Imbewe, a consulting economist. He'll be joining us from Lusaka, Zambia. Kelvin, good morning.
This is Bala Bianchi.
Roger, good morning.
Good morning, Nathan. I think we can't hear you for some reason.
Okay. Roger, are you there?
Yes,
well,
we are here. We
Nathan.
Can hear you.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Can hear you.
Neither of you was responding, so I was wondering whether I was on or not. Kelvin, are you there?
No, you...
Oh, it's Bianchi. Bianchi, sorry.
No, you sound very well, Nathan.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. How are things on your side, Bianchi?
Well, the temperature dropped. Other than that, I'm doing fine.
Extremely. Even on our side, it dropped, Roger. I think this time it's about 30-something. Well, I know Roger is going to say that's T-shirt weather, Bianchi.
Well, he usually does.
That's nothing compared to what we're experiencing.
Ah, you are below zero, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's been single digit, which makes everyone happy here. Whenever it is in the single digit, we are okay. Even if it's minus, but it's single digit, that's okay.
Okay. That's a good morning. I guess he's still doing his thing, trying to connect Dr. Mbewe. And we shall be going there. Roger, I was looking at our website trying to see what the last thing we discussed with Dr. Mbewe the last time. Can you believe the last time he was here was 2014?
What is 17? I don't...
3 years,
maybe
right?
Not. I don't know. Three years sounds very far.
Me too. That's what I thought as well. I'm like, no, 2 or 3 years sounds a little bit too far off. And I thought it was much sooner than that. Yeah, I thought it was much sooner than that.
Yeah, I think we've had him in, I think, to either 2015. Anyway, it could be, it's possible. Time flies.
Yeah. So I want him to, you know, I was prompted, Pianki, after the heated discussion we had about tourism last week. I thought that, okay, let's listen from somebody who's on the ground and who understands how economic things operate, both in a practical sense. He's been a professor for years, and he understands how these things work. So we're going to talk to him about a lot of things, and let's hear what Dr. Mbewe has to say. Immediately, we are ready with Lusaka. We shall go ahead. Roger, I saw your post. Is it the government to that newspaper?
Yes.
I was saying to myself, Pianki, where does this guy get these headings from? Oh, my goodness.
I got that one from Pianki, from a Jefferson quote, where he says, if I was given an option, a government with newspapers or a government without newspapers, I would do choose the latter, meaning you would choose a government without newspapers because of the attack. However, I have to honor that because a government without newspaper can be very, very dangerous government.
The newspapers around here.
Jefferson, the president. Is this the first president of the United States? Jefferson? Yeah.
One of them. Yeah.
Thomas Jefferson.
Thomas Jefferson was the third president, if I'm not mistaken.
You said president? Yeah, Washington was first. Yeah, so he's the one who gave that. It's a famous quote, actually. A government without newspapers.
That's very interesting. Bianchi, what do you think of that?
Well, you know, you have newspapers like...
Right, Nathan.
You have... you know, our newspaper, I was reading an article where it said CNN cited unnamed insiders and experts when they was making mention of Trump. Well, my question is, who are these unnamed insiders, and are they people from the State Department that's leaking information that they shouldn't be leaking information?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, years ago, there was a court case.
You know, one of the question I ask below that, Bianchi, I'm saying, why does this state of affairs, that is the government without newspaper, have supporters? You know, it is very, very surprising to a lot of us. The leakers of the news, Bianchi, in my view, are trying to save the republic. You should be embracing them. To be buying those Trump talking points, you say, let's go after the leakers. It is very sad. How do these people, a person even like Trump, have support regarding this? It is beyond my understanding, Nathan. You know, it's beyond my brain. This is why people like Trump, people like dictators we have, they thrive. They have supporters. How those supporters are there, I can't understand. We'll discuss,
well,
I'm sure. He might be...
Well, you shouldn't have leakers who's leaking information. They not may only be leaking information to the news, but they may be leaking information to foreign governments also.
Do you think they'll do that, Bianchi?
Oh, absolutely they would. They're getting paid.
But
you had a court case here where the courts put a reporter in jail because they wouldn't reveal their sources.
Bianchi, that's where we are going to be today, a government without newspapers, because that's what they are saying. You know, governments are there, newspapers are there as a watchdog, and they are only a watchdog if they can have leaks coming. You know, even the Senate, they passed a law protecting leakers in the United States after what George Bush were doing. They passed a law to protect the leakers. They know that without leaking information, government can be very, very dangerous. They know that.
Yeah.
That was whistleblowers. That's a whole different point of view. If you have someone in the State Department that's leaking information about this, that, and the other, it's the same thing with General Wesley Clark about 2 days after 9/11 when he made the report, retired general at the time, about the United States attacking seven countries.
Are you suggesting, Yankee, the activities of Trump and the Russians should not be leaked out to the press?
The activities between Trump and Russia, what is Trump doing that's illegal? He's not doing any more than arming him.
Let the people make up their mind.
He's not doing any more than what Armin Hammer done back during the days of, you know, a long time ago when he, forget what he done, but he done similar things. But should they not leak out the emails from Hillary Clinton?
Let's talk about, good morning. Let's talk about, we are waiting for our friends to connect Lusaka. Let's talk about Kasonso about the current Trump cry that the FBI, White House had gone to the FBI so that the FBI can start to either be quiet or justify what is going on, and the FBI said no, and the FBI leaked that to the newspaper. According to Pianki here, Pianki is suggesting that the FBI should not tell the newspaper what is going on when the White House is breaking the law or the rule. There is a rule that if there is an active investigation, the White House should not talk to the FBI, but the White House is doing just that. Pianki is saying, like Asonso, no, the FBI should not tell the newspaper that.
They should. Just like DeBasquio, or just like former mayors, has told all the employees of the city, do not talk to the news.
Okay, first, good morning. Good morning, everyone out there, and it's very good to join the show. Sorry, I was a few minutes late. Hello?
Yes.
Yes, we can hear you.
Hello? The thing about what is happening with Donald Trump, you can see a man who has risen to the most important and powerful position on the face of the earth, that he didn't do a good job preparing for that. Because some of the things that are coming out of him are really just shocking, you know. First of all, we have said, even on this show, that the institutions, the fundamental institutions of the United States are very strong. And a little dictator like an African leader who is in charge of everything cannot rise in the United States because of the strength of the institution. So I can just say that if this man continues at this rate, the institutions will rein him in. And if he cannot be reined in, the system will vomit him. First of all, the White House isn't supposed to be having a conversation with the FBI about an ongoing investigation. That is prohibited. That is serious problems coming. And secondly, they are not supposed to be having a conversation with a foreign government during the electoral process. And if they did that, that is also some problems that are coming, because under the sun, there is nothing that is completely hidden. The truth shall come out, and the system will rein in on them. You know, they have an agenda, they have a program, they wanted to do some things in the country. We don't have to have the same theories or the same philosophies about government or what we do, but each group that gets in government gets to contribute something indigenous, and that only that group can contribute. So instead of him being in the seat there making a contribution, just busy antagonizing everybody and making turning it into a petty fight with the media and the other people. You know, it is a very kind of to use Kelvin's favorite word, it's a very nauseating type of government that is coming out of the White House, because we don't have we don't we, we that seat is reserved for the thinking minds, and the thinking minds are the ones who control the earth. Not only because they have equipment, but because of the ingeniousness and the capacity and enterprise to do that. So there must be honor coming out of theirs. So it is not going anywhere. The institutions will catch up with their activities.
You know, you're absolutely right, and I commend you for that, because it was very nauseating for Loretta Lynch, the Department of Justice head, to meet with Bill Clinton on a tarmac in his plane. Get out of her plane, walk over and get in his plane. It was just so convenient that happened like that.
Right,
I'm going to tell you guys something. You know, I'm very happy with Donald Trump. And he came out admittedly, it's on tape, on video, that he's not politically correct. But I agree with him. Being politically correct takes up too much time, and there's a lot of work to be done. He has a mandate for the people, and he needs to do what he's... Roger, why did you try to silence me? Is it because of the cold weather?
I like that.
Because you are trying to suggest that they're politically incorrect. You must start breaking all the rules which are there. Breaking the
rules are made to be broken, Roger.
The judges are waiting for this guy. You know?
And we have a catch in judges. Judges can be impeached too, you know.
You know, Bianchi, in life, I was explaining to my wife. I said, in life, even in a household where I live, there are certain expectations, behaviors which are expected of me as a husband, as a mother, as a child. There are norms there, so you cannot just come in a house and say, "Oh, me, I'm out of math. I'm going to be coming home four in the morning because I'm not politically correct. I'm going to do A, B, C, D because no." So even him, this excuse that he is not a politician and therefore he should be behaving like some dude who has never even been to school, because in the name of politically incorrect, it's not going to fly, Bianchi. It's not going to work.
But it does.
There are certain norms which carry that office. Whether you are a politician or not a politician, there are certain behaviors which are expected of you. And he's failing on all those things.
You know who he reminds me of? He reminds me of Harry Truman when he gathered the nickname. Give him hell, Harry. Give him hell, Trump.
Uncle Nathan, Dr. Mbewa is online.
Okay, thank you. We've already lost about 9 or 8 minutes. Dr. Mbewa, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, everybody.
It's been a while since we had you on, and we thought that quite a number of things that we should discuss with you, and since you're on the ground and this is your field or line of qualifications, we've lost time, so let me try to get to some things here very quickly. Could you first of all just comment on Zambia's standing with the IMF?
Wow, how do you answer that question? Understanding with the IMF. Well, it is according to my opinion, and that is I underline my opinion, not what the IMF thinks. But I think with the IMF, they consider Zambia to be at this stage a boy who has gone astray, because at the beginning this boy was doing very good with. When it comes to macro policy management, reduction of inflation, tight monetary policy, some fiscal policies coming up of controlling government expenditure and so on. But it appears over the last few years that has been dropped, sort of. And again, this body is going all over the place. So if I was to the IMF, I'd be a bit jittery how this body is behaving. But let's wait and see how far it goes.
Do you think would qualify for any funding or any assistance of any sort?
No. When it comes to funding, we qualify at all times. Yeah. Especially when we have to use the the internationally accepted criteria was that we can go up to 60% of our GDP, and assuming that our GDP is about $27 billion today, so let's round off to 30 billion. 60% would mean about 18 billion, and our debt is still around 7 billion, approaching 8, 9 billion. So there's room for borrowing, right? That's the approach with the former Minister of Finance, Mr. Alexander Chikwanda, had, that we could still borrow more.
Okay.
I think that's something which is being followed, by the current Minister of Finance, Mr. Mtati, that we could still borrow more. But the point is that the easiest part is borrowing. The hardest part is the paying back.
Yeah, okay. Dr. Mbewe, you and I know, and everybody else listening here online, those that have called in, Zambia, every president that comes on discusses or always blows the trumpet of diversification from dependence on copper to tourism, agriculture, and all those other sectors. I understand this current government has come up with a new agricultural policy. What is that new agricultural policy?
Well, the current government has got good plans, and I would want to underline that word, plan. Remember, it's a continuation of the PF under President, the late President Shaka. So the infrastructure development is still going on, and it is almost reaching maturity stage. So there are hiccups with payment to contractors. But at the same time, that the current government is diversifying into agriculture, and I've got what in Zambia would consider to be good news when it comes to agriculture, in the sense that there are heavy rains going around in Zambia today. Heavy rain, real heavy rain. And our neighbors, they are not receiving as much rain as we are receiving. So one would have said that this was a golden opportunity at which to expand our agriculture production, especially the staple crop, maize, growing in huge quantities, knowing very well that in summer, in August, October, our neighboring countries will start coming to ask for help or want to buy. But alas, it's not looking like that. We have been hiccups in the distribution of farmer inputs, that means the fertilizers, pesticides. Then there was the story of armyworms, although that story has gone down. Somewhere in the central province, they noticed some red locusts. Those ones can be a danger maybe in 3 years' time. So you can see that the agricultural situation also is in a sort of disarray, although we've got a golden opportunity in which to at last realize that the dream of diversifying our economy. Tourism is still facing the same problem of lack of infrastructure. The same classic situation is still hanging. Our tourist attraction is the Victoria Falls, but what are you going to do after watching the Victoria Falls? Can you watch the Victoria Falls for 1 week? No. So there are other surrounding infrastructure that would make your stay at the Victoria Falls memorable. All those things are interesting. Some infrastructure is coming up in Santia, around the beach, in Cassava Bay, they are not doing something big and attractive, but rather something that is some people have been to Zambia, some lodges. And you know, with lodges, there isn't much you can do because they are small entities, small hotels, and stuff like that. So, one can say that we are living in a state different, although what is needed is to, it appears the government, in my opinion, the government has got directions which to go, and how to go there, what is the best route to take, still remains a mystery for them.
You mentioned something coming up in Zambia, Dr. Mbewe. One of the things we discussed on this show last week when it comes to tourism is how, and the person who raised the issue is here, you know, Pianki, how long does it take an international tourist to get to that destination?
What I don't know, what is the state of the airport in Mansa? Can people connect from AK in Lusaka International Airport to Mansa directly? Do we have that provision?
No, we don't have that provision. Those are still part of the so-called government flight. That's our problem with our agriculture. It's a problem of infrastructure, especially roads. Routes,
yeah.
Routes. Remember, we do not have an airline. So
yes.
If one wanted to come to Zambia, you have to go to South Africa or to Kenya or to Ethiopia, or using the Emirates through Dubai and come here. But then from here, how to reach down there now to Santia, you'll have to use the local road. So it's good for tourists who are adventurous, who want to try their luck. You go over hills and clear roads and so on. Especially in the rain season, some of the roads are still impassable, so you find that we still have that problem.
Okay. I still want us to go back to agriculture, Dr. Mbewe. When we're talking about diversifying towards agriculture, and I threw this point to you in the email I sent to you, which produce or products are we talking about here? Because as far as my memory serves me, Dr. Kasonso, Roger, Malawi is the largest producer of tea, Zimbabwe, tobacco. Which products are we talking about here for Zambia?
There's nothing of that sort when it comes to crop specialization. But if you wanted to have something to say, to mention, we'd mention maize, you see? Because maize is the main crop which is being grown in the country, which is needed not only by us, but including our neighboring countries, all of them, around the Congo, DRC, Malawi, Zimbabwe, South Africa, Mozambique, Botswana, they use maize. But now, the point is that maize again is a very political issue in Zambia. Its production is sort of dependent on the fuel price, which is set by the Food Reserve Agency. And the Food Reserve Agency sets the price depending on what the government wants to have in its reserve. And at the same time, the government does not allow the export of maize and milling because we are afraid that we might end up not to, we ourselves having anything to cook. So, what happens is that a crop that could have been our cash crop definitely is not sold because of those political reasons, social cultural reasons, so on. But at the same time, we could look at the other crops that could be interesting for this country. And there we are doing our stories so much adapted to learning. It can include stuff like groundnut, but what we Americans call them peanuts, but those are things that do not have a lot of market value. So it needs some research to come up with such prayer. I'm sitting on one of the on the board of directors of one of the seed companies. And 98% of their budget is money. The other seeds which are there, the number of it is very low or non-existent virtually. And it is wheat, it's there, but it's taken up by those white farmers, the commercial farmers, and they are going to monopolize the market of wheat. They grow wheat and sell it to bakers, or bakers, those companies, millers, which produce flour for making bread. So it's a lot of a will and let's say, again, it's again to use that connotation which I don't like, but we have to use it. Political will again to have some other products promoted.
Okay, so it still comes back and brings us back to the issue of political will. One more question on agriculture. How feasible...
Excuse me, Nathan. Why do I insist on political will? You see, although I've introduced market reform in Zambia way back in 1990, the the market, as we understand it, or the market economy per se, does not
function
properly. We have officials in place that would be monitoring whether the market is being promoted, competition is allowed, but you find that those organizations virtually do not do their function the right way. They are still in organization structure, or they are still finding ways and methods of how to operate. And there are some organizations who have been there for 20 years, and they have not punished anybody for any wrongdoing. And all the wrongdoings are there, everybody, regardless of whether it is environmental, consumer protection, and so on. Nobody is punished. So you find it's a very big problem of trying to move the whole nation, or if I can call it the whole national machinery, to look in a different direction, that this is the way we have to go. These are the crops we have to promote or work hard on. Let's move let's put our heads together, come up with plans, and let's implement them. By the way, Nathan, with my 5 years experience in Zambia today, after being in the diaspora for 8 years, I can tell everybody there in the diaspora that in this country, everybody knows what is the problem with our country. Everybody knows what is the solution to our problem. But nobody is ready to hold up their sleeves and implement that solution. They are not doers. They are just talkers.
Roger, I can even say here that's the end of the discussion. I mean, you just said it all, Dr. Dewey. I'm telling you, you've just said it all. Okay, before I let my colleagues come in and throw their rocket-propelled launchers here to you, my next question is on the Jesuit Center for the Jesuit Center recently released. I'm sure my colleagues probably also read that article in Lusaka Times. The report, which raised concerns about Zambia's trade balance for 2016 being in deficit. My first question, Dr. Mbewe, is that has there ever been a time when our trade balance was never in deficit?
Have there been any time when we had a surplus?
Yes.
According to my knowledge, no. Maybe during the calendar days when we are 13 years old, 14 years old, now we are 54. So maybe it has been, but not now. There has never been any surplus because a trade deficit is as a result of you importing more than you produce. I mean, more than
exactly.
The difference between yes. So it is exports minus imports. And once that difference is minus, then we have got a problem. So you find that we have got a problem, and that problem is that we do not produce anything that can be exported. We do not produce anything that can be exported.
So,
come up with technologies and processing products. Because you only sell products for export if they are of good quality, they are of high quality.
Okay.
In the world of today, Zambia is wasting time. If it to be processing, I mean, if it would be selling maize, but it should not be selling millions. Zambia would be wasting time if it would be selling groundnuts instead of peanut butter. You see the point? That's what is value. And in our case, even the copper, which we would be claiming that we export, that in raw form, in bulk form, it's not processed in any way.
So therefore, it comes to
a positive balance.
Okay, therefore, it comes to the point that copper is still our largest a commodity that we export, right?
Yeah, copper is still the largest export commodity.
Okay. So now,
it's me now who is wondering about your sound disappointed. But hey, what do you expect? When all the companies which could have been doing something have been privatized and gotten
yes.
rid of by the new owners, because they have taken all the production back to their country, in my specifically two countries, China and South Africa. And then what they produce and process, they come back to sell in Zambia as finished products. So when you go to the famous ShopRite, which is South African, Pick+K, which is South African, and
uh-huh.
which is the Walmart, that's from the South African branch, you don't find any made in Zambia product there. All of them, they are either imported from China or from South Africa. Even banana flakes, they are imported from China. And I always ask that question, well, what is the problem of telling my grandmother, hey, old woman, there's one thing what you are doing. You know, can you sit here, peel these bananas, dry them, or cut them into small pieces? Once they are dry, bring them to me and we pack it.
You see, Dr. Mbeo, yeah, the reason I sound disappointed, you know the reason why I sound disappointed? Because when I read that article I'm referring to in Lusaka Times,
yes.
I'm saying to myself, Dr. Mbewe, I can't remember when Zambia had a surplus on its trade, whatever. So why are they making a big issue out of this? This has been our perpetual state, okay? Here's my last question before I let Dr. Kasonso, Roger, Vachisewandi, Pianki come in. Okay, so therefore, our trade balance has continued to be in deficit. Nobody can show me that we have other sources of revenue into the treasury. Okay? And, Dr. Mbewe, we expand the judiciary by creating new jobs there in courts and courts. Hear me here. We create jobs. We simply expand the judiciary by creating a constitutional court with more jobs seemingly, and we have built all these hospitals across the country. We've created jobs seemingly, but there's no revenue in there's no more extra or whatever new revenue sources into the treasury, Dr. Mbewe. That's what is blowing my mind.
Yeah, you are right, but that I can answer it away. What will be putting me on the bad books of some people, but that's my specialty, to be on bad books of people. There are two professions that are ruining our country, accountants and lawyers.
Okay.
And whatever you do, yeah, whatever you do, especially if you think of producing something new, something like making peanut butter from grandmas, these people
uh-huh.
can't see the sense of that. it's their nature. It's not like their area of interest. The country is run by lawyers and accountants, and it's as simple as that. I'm not saying that they are not educated. I'm not saying that they are not wise, but they simply do not understand the role of production. The role of production, that whatever they do as accountants, writing all those credits, debits, net income statements, balance sheet, they are balancing something which is being produced somewhere there. They are creating, they are counting revenue of something that has been produced and sold. If they ever ask themselves, what is that? So they are defending the people from certain clinics as well, protecting each other, but from what? What is the positive? What is bringing the growth? Give me the numbers. Where is the money? Where is the money being created? That one is not giving a thing.
Yeah, that's my concern, because you can blow your trumpet and say you've created so many jobs, but to your point, Dr. Mbewe, it's production or manufacturing or creation of real, bringing in companies that are going to contribute by tax revenue into the national treasury. You can't tell me you've created jobs when there's no creation of new sources of revenue. Let me allow my colleagues to ask their questions before we run out of time here. Let's go to Dubai. Dr. Kasonso, please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Mbewe, for actually highlighting for us the lack of political will to actually create sort of problems for economy in the Zambia. And I also want to commend you for lamenting the two professions that are running the country based on short-sighted perceptions, the lawyers and the accountants of Zambia. And I also want to commend you for your incisive ability to balance the argument of the need to borrow from the IMF on the basis of our current GDP. I want to first of all comment on what Nathan said about the Jesuits who are looking at the imbalance between the export and the import in the Republic of Zambia. Actually, we have seen a dramatic improvement in 2016 where the exports were approximately 6.6 billion and the imports were 6.7 billion. If you compare that with the prior year, you will have actually the exports were at 6.9 billion to the imports. Were 7.7 billion. So there is a marginal improvement between the year 2015 and 2016. But if you go into the current account, there's still a deficit of approximately $1 billion. The deficit in the current account where you with the one you use actually to make payments from. So it is a deficit in there. So I think that is what is prompting the government to look at borrowing as a way to show up either the current account or even meet other obligations, no ability to actually make payments out. The difficult part is that, you know, the economy of Zambia is approximately, using the official exchange rate, is only 20 billion worth. And the debt stock that the PF government accumulated in the last 4 or 5 years is more than 7 billion. If you take the international stock and you add it to the local date, it actually comes to approximately half of the economy. Now, if you use the accounting equation, your assets must be able to equal your liabilities and the stockholders' equity. So it means that any sort of borrowing that the government is going to do reduces the equity for the people of Zambia and increases, makes the country a debtor nation. So I think that, you know, looking for methods to diversify and all of those are good long term, the thing that needs to be done is just to stop the bleeding right now. Where is the bleeding taking place? The bleeding is in spite of us bridging the gap between the exports and the imports. What we are not doing is retaining earnings in the country, in between the borders. Everybody who gets a little dollar is spending it outside of the country. And all the exports that we are doing are not bringing that money back in the country. That is why the currency continues to strain. The economy continues to not work well. And in the meantime, if you keep putting up lawyers and accountants, whatever you can call them, you can put them up there in government. What they are busy doing is just spending the money, chasing their friends, creating little court cases and making drama around that and making something's happening in the country. But meanwhile, what they are doing is just impoverishing the republic. And of course, government, so it's very, very a shameful government because the focus is not on enriching the nation. The fundamentals of enriching the nation are very basic and clear. And these things we are saying, we are not the first ones to even note them. The lack of political will and the lack of just the decisive leadership to fix this is really, really blight on our country. We should just hope and, you know, for a better time and, you know, when the true sons of this republic can rise and fix this mess. Because what we have right now is this pervasive government, is, you know, the people just having employment and nothing more.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not the purpose of government in the 21st century. Thank you.
Okay. Dr. Mbewu, you want to respond?
Yeah, just a few words. The gentleman Dubai has just put it exactly the way it is, in more better ways than I. The only thing I would have added there is that the current account, which he explained there, he did it very well, but I would just add more street language. The current account shows the real cash that the country has. It is as a result of money leaving off the country and money coming into the country. Now, I would also bring to the attention of everybody listening that those figures we are seeing on that Lusaka Times article, those figures, I'm sorry for the blunt truth, that is, those are figures on paper. Why? Because they show what was exported, and if we said mostly it is copper and what was imported. But remember, who owns the copper? I've got bad words for you. The Zambian copper is not owned by Zambians. It is owned by the multinationals who own minerals today. The likes of the Vedanta, the First Quantum Minerals, to mention but a few. And these are the people who are taking the profits. So nothing of that money trickles down to Zambia. Let's face that. Let somebody from government come and challenge us who are talking like this to create official figures. This company exported this amount of copper. They got this amount of money. They gave us this amount of money. And we see that. None will ever tell you that. Because that security of those copper sales is by now signed. When you go to that film, Zambia, good copper, bad copper, you see there it is explained. The copper there is gone. The payment is done to Switzerland. There's not even a question of the Zambian banking system of the National Bank of Zambia. So, what are you excited about that we have exported, we have imported? What took us down to the pocket?
Yeah. Okay, Bianchi, comment, question?
Well, first I just wanted to say hello to Richard and Bill. I haven't spoke to you in a long time. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm done. When I say that's how it is, I'm done.
That's good. But I have no questions. I will yield my time to the next person. Thank you very much, Nathan, for having such a splendid guest.
Excellent, excellent. Let's go to Canada, Roger. I know Roger's got a band of things to offload.
Oh, yeah. Bambewe, welcome. Actually, my question is probably not what we are talking about. Timpa and I were talking about you just last week. So if you had some bad things happen to you, it was me and Timpa talking about you. The question Bambewe is that you made this transition from Poland to Zambia. I think going forward, some of these problems we are talking about, if a critical mass of us who have this experience went back to Zambia, a lot of things will change. Well, but my question is, any second thoughts about this move you made? And I say that because I think some of us are on that way, trying to transition back. Any second thoughts about that? And the fear of relatives being on you once you arrive there to be a big problem. How have you dealt with that?
Thank you very much,
Roger. I'm going to go.
Okay, now let me answer that question. Come forward with great prideness. According to our national anthem, Pride and Free, I never regret to have made that move. You guys, Zambia is the Dorado for those people who are entrepreneurs, for those people who want to invest, for those people who want to start a business, for those people, I don't know, who want to discover America. This is the new America to be discovered. It's a land of opportunities. There is massive land which is unutilized. There is no, you can do any product. You can grow.
Okay. It looks like.
Sorry, we lost Dr. Mbewe. Let me connect him back.
Okay. Yeah, please connect him. I don't know whether to say devastating point or statement he has made, Bianchi, for me, is that you heard him say everybody in Zambia knows what the problem is, but nobody, we are not actors. Yes. You see, We know what the problem is. I don't know what, Bianchi, what, I don't know what you can say to
I that. Don't know what it is neither, Nathan. Maybe it's getting beyond your level, your spirit of comfortability. I think that has a lot to do with it.
I mean, I don't know. Because,
Nathan, the people in Zambia don't have the ability to do these things. I keep saying that. I mean, let's really lay it out on the table and look at the qualifications, what they have to work with. It's just not there. No one has as much experience as those in the diaspora. Look at Roger. Look at all the experience he has. Where
Hello?
He's at. But he's there.
Go ahead, Dr. Mbewe. Continue.
Mbewe, you were talking about the abundant land. That's where you ended.
Oh, he has dropped again. Yeah, it's very disheartening because, to be honest with you, Roger, when I read that article in the Lusaka Times, which I'm referring to, I said to myself, I can't remember when Zambia had a surplus in its trade, whatever the terminology is, like Asonso here. Some of us are not finance, accounting, or economists. I think to myself, I can't remember when we had the surplus. One. Two, I can't remember when we diversified from copper. I can't. So, and we're talking about diversification, like he has said, agriculture to agriculture, and the government has got a new, Oh, I've got less than 10 minutes left here. And we connected him late. Okay, I let me see. Is he back here? Let him finish Roger's point. Okay, Bambewe, finish your point. Not yet. So, good morning, Musala. And I'm saying to myself,
good morning.
You know, no. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe we are to blame, like Musala keeps saying, Roger. When I mentioned, when we're discussing tourism, and I mentioned in Tumbachusi, the question is, what has Nathan done about this situation? Maybe, like Bianchi say, Roger's gained all this experience living in America and Canada, and Roger hasn't done anything about it. Maybe we have to blame ourselves, Musala. That's what it comes to. I don't know.
Look, Dr. Mbewe is one of my favorite stories.
Mm.
And I say that because when Dr. Mbewe was, I think you guys used to do that radio with James, right? I think when he was in Poland.
Yes, yes. Mm.
And when I used to say what he's saying now, right, he used to shut me down. He would tell me this and this and that. And I would tell him, right? Now, you see, I also met him last year. We talked for like 2 hours.
He
told me what he's doing and things like that. So everyone is true. Everyone knows what's wrong. What people don't know is how to fix it. Now, another problem that I've discovered is that even when people know what it is to fix, even when you tell them, they won't listen to you. You see, I have Zambians calling me outright, calling me closed-minded. Zambians. You understand? And what I'm telling them are things I tell my children, things I tell my family, things I tell myself and do. You understand? So
yeah,
that's
wait,
the problem.
Wait,
it's not
wait,
like
Musala.
People they
Dr.
don't
Mbewe.
Know. They know.
Dr. Mbewe, are you back? is he back? Okay, we're going to have to be getting ready to go into the next show here. Continue, Musala. Roger laughed.
Yes,
because I know you and Roger entangle yourselves on Facebook a lot. I enjoy reading those things.
No, Roger is very smart. I know Roger is very smart. But Roger has been curtailed. Roger has a good heart in a way, you see. But what he doesn't know is like, if Roger was a doctor and the medicine is to give an injection to a baby, if he sees a baby crying, Roger doesn't give that injection. You understand? Because he thinks the baby will cry.
And even
but
if the injection would solve the problem. something that's making the baby cry.
Exactly.
Oh, my God. Dr. Mbewe, are you back?
It makes our week go by fast. you never know. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Oh,
Nathan. That question you said. Anyway, our Kalamba is being quiet here. Doctor Kalonde, Kalonde. Good morning.
Good morning. I just wanted to find out. Everybody is saying we know the problem. Mentioning the problem. What is the problem?
The problem is that we are not able to be buying more than we are paying.
We know roads are broken. We know there are no jobs. We know all these problems, right? All the problems we have. Hospitals have no drugs. We know all those problems. Whichever problem we know. And that's why everyone will tell you there's nothing. This is not there. That's the problem.
But all those are side problems. There should be a cardinal problem, and then it has all these side effects. So what is the main problem? Let's not deal with the side effect.
Dr. Kalonde, the problem we have in Zambia is lack of leadership. Everything rises or falls on leadership. Everybody knows we lack leadership. But nobody has the courage to put in proper leaders. That's the way the tone I'm hearing from that conversation. You know, it takes leadership to make policy changes. It takes leadership to implement policies that will change.
We are going to continue with that question in our next. We have just run out of time, so we are going to stop here. Vakasonso, hold your fire, and then we call in and we continue with our
Can we have Dr. Mbewe just finish 5 or 10 minutes in your segment?
Let him
just finish what he started saying. Let's transition. Everybody, let's go back in. Thank you. No kukupelo bumbi, ujuku sauti ya